Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Friday, March 8th, 2019, we're having a great Friday so far, and hope your Lent is going well. And coming up, we're going to give you more resources to make your Lent very special and to keep you close to the faith and to the Lord. Doug Keck will be joining me, as he always does on Friday mornings. He's the President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN. So much great programming and great stories. This morning, for example, I always check Catholic News Agency, EWTNNews.com, EWTN News Nightly, to see what's happening in the Catholic world, along with other Catholic websites. So those are my primary go-to places in the Register, ncregister.com, so they should be yours too, just saying. And I see this awesome story on Catholic News Agency about the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Now, I just saw Sister Joseph Andrew and Mother Assumpta over the weekend here in southeastern Michigan, where they're based. They had their big fundraiser for the Spiritus Sanctus Academies, which are the grade schools they run. We have two of them here, and we also have the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, at our parish, St. Isaac Jogues, in suburban Detroit, in the Archdiocese of Detroit. So this fundraiser is just a hoot, and it's just a great, it's not only a great way to raise money for Catholic schools, but you can see the growth and the success of the Sisters of Mary and how they're just reaching out. This story was about the fact that they had a problem, and a good problem. They could not house the women that they were that were knocking on their doors, interested in pursuing a vocation in religious life, and in particular thinking of possibly someday joining the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. So they just opened a big place down in Austin, Texas. And not only is it a great online written story from Catholic News Agency, they have a clip of an interview with Sister Joseph Andrew and Mother Assumpta, the two co-foundresses of the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. And it's so uplifting, getting to my original point of resources, which Doug will talk about in a few minutes, to go to these websites and see what's happening. Yes, Catholic News Agency, EWTNNews.com, EWTN News Nightly, they will all report on the challenges that we're facing as well. But they don't do this in, oh, the sky is falling, the world is ending, it's all misery. Because there is a lot of good. And that's what we need to think about. In addition to being willing to pray and to fast and do whatever we can to turn this thing around, the problems in the church. So Doug will have some great ideas on what you can watch and listen to and read during Lent and beyond, and that happens at about 15 minutes past the hour. And then we are going to tackle a topic, or at least begin to look at it. We've been tackling it on and off in direct and indirect ways since this whole thing started last summer when the McCarrick story broke. But a lot of you, I'm sure, and probably from your own circle of family and friends, maybe coworkers and others as well, extended relations out there, have been challenged. If you're a faithful Catholic and you're trying to stay in the church, you know you're going to stay in the church, you're not going to leave because of the problems, and you're probably, if you're like a lot of us, getting a lot of pushback. So how do you handle that? How do you respond lovingly with the truth, without starting a huge, you know, family feud? But it's important to be able to defend the faith. We should be able to do that on a regular basis. But not just in the sense of winning an argument. That shouldn't be the goal. When you are witnessing to why you are Catholic, why you love the Lord, why the faith means so much to you, you are not only defending the faith, but you don't know the influence that's going to have on that particular person or others who may be listening. That is a different form of evangelization. So there are ways to do that effectively. And Steve Ray, who's an apologist and who's going through this right now, and we even addressed this on the bus, on the pilgrimage bus, and we'll talk about that as we were traveling through Jordan and Israel with our pilgrims a few weeks ago. Because many of them had questions, and good questions. Not going anywhere, they're not leaving, but they have these challenges in their own families, in their own corners of the world, and they wanted some input and some hope. And Steve gave them that, and I joined in along with our wonderful spiritual director, Father Dan Good from the Archdiocese of Mobile, and my husband, Deacon Dominic, as well as our wonderful Catholic guide, Amr Shaheda, who's a faithful Catholic living and working in Nazareth and serving as a guide there throughout Israel. So I think it's going to be a great conversation. Steve is over in the Holy Land right now, getting ready to lead another pilgrimage but he's going to be calling in, and he'll give us his take on this situation as a convert especially. I'm sure he's under even increased pressure. People are saying, huh, I bet you're real happy you converted so many years ago. Fill in the blanks. We could all do that, right? But he'll join us live. He'll take your calls and your questions. So feel free to call in at the bottom of the hour. Not yet, because we have to do the news and we have Doug. But we look forward to chatting with you. And in addition, these two things kind of flow together because you have Doug Katkom with us, who every week gives us a great list of resources. So in order to defend your faith, you need to know your faith. You need to know the Lord in a deeper and deeper way. You don't just, you know, stand still. We keep moving closer, hopefully, to God. St. Teresa of Avila in Interior Castles is talking about moving through these different levels of the mansion, these different rooms where you get closer to God and you leave behind these various things that are separating you from the Lord. So this is a growth process. And that's why we offer you so many different resources, because we can help you with these issues that we're all having. All right? So Doug Keck, it's 15 minutes past the hour. And then Steve Ray, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take the last half hour of the show, the last 30 minutes or so, to talk, to address your issues, and I'll share some of my own thoughts and input on that as well. So it's going to be a busy hour. Hope you can stay tuned for the entire program. Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Looking forward to heading to Kokomo, Indiana. Deacon Dom and I are flying out tonight, and we're going to be speaking tomorrow for a Holy Family Catholic Conference in Indiana, and I believe it's put on by St. Joan of Arc Parish there. I'm doing two talks, and then Deacon Dom and I are doing our testimony talk and tying in our book, Intimate Graces, How Practicing the Corporal and Spiritual Works of Mercy Brings Out the Best in Marriage. Amen. So if you're going to Indiana tomorrow, we'll see you there, God willing. In the meantime, we have a show to do, so let's get this show on the road and see what's happening in and around the world with the news on a Friday. Well, Tennessee House lawmakers passing a major bill yesterday protecting unborn babies from abortion once their heartbeat is detectable. LifeNews.com and the Times Free Press reporting the bill passing by a strong majority, 65-21, and it now moves to the state Senate for consideration. The measure, sponsored by Representative Micah Van Hus, would prohibit abortions once an unborn baby's heartbeat is detected in Tennessee. Now, exceptions would be allowed for emergencies. If enacted, the ban would almost ban all abortions in the state. An unborn baby's heartbeat, by the way, detectable at about 6 weeks of pregnancy, though research does suggest a baby's heartbeat may begin as early as 18 days after conception. A Utah teacher on leave after forcing a Catholic elementary school student to remove an ash cross from his forehead on Ash Wednesday. The Davis School District investigating the incident and announced yesterday that the fourth grade teacher, Mona Patterson, has been placed on leave. The teacher and school have apologized to the student and his family. The suspect charged with kidnapping 13-year-old Jamie Kloss after killing her parents, as Mark Mayfield reports in Wisconsin, reportedly says he will now plead guilty in that case.
Jake Patterson wrote a letter to a reporter at Minnesota news station KARE 11 saying he has huge amounts of remorse for his crimes and he plans on pleading guilty to them. In the letter, he couldn't say exactly why he kidnapped Jamie, noting that the situation was complicated and not black and white. He said it was mostly on impulse and stressed that he doesn't think like a serial killer. Patterson also said that he never confided in anyone, not even his family, about the crimes. He also said, quote, "No one will believe or can even imagine how sorry I am for hurting Jamie this much." Jamie Kloss was held captive by Patterson for 88 days before she was able to escape.
Members of the U.S. House say they've passed an anti-hate speech measure, the resolution easily passing after recent controversial remarks by Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar. Omar is a freshman Muslim lawmaker, was not named in that resolution, though. She's accused pro-Israel advocates of pushing allegiance to a foreign country, also saying pro-Israel groups are using big political donations to influence policy. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, meanwhile, noting before the vote yesterday, the issue has already come before the House many times.
Of all the things that have happened this Congress, this is what we've talked about the most. This is the action that this Congress has taken the most.
The measure, starting out as a proposed resolution condemning anti-Semitism, but was expanded amid disagreements among Democrats. Kentucky's Governor Matt Bevin doesn't support the recent teachers' sick-out in the state. Bevin posting a tweet on Wednesday calling out teachers, saying kids should be in school learning. Parent Lisa Zabonik says the teachers' sick-out is in Kentucky and can be really stressful for moms and dads as well.
You have to usually make arrangements, you know, for somebody to, you know, watch your children, especially, you know, when you have to go to work and everything. But, you know, I understand the reasoning behind it as well.
Three school districts canceled classes yesterday because of the large number of teachers calling in sick to protest changes to their retirement system and the education system. This is a third closure this week for Jefferson County, the state's largest district. Today marks 5 years since a Malaysian Airlines jet disappeared on a flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. More than 230 passengers and crew were on Flight 370 when it vanished from radar less than an hour after taking off on March 8, 2014. More than two dozen countries joined a search and rescue mission but found nothing. Only a few pieces of wreckage from the Boeing 777 have washed up on an island in the Indian Ocean. It's never been explained why the plane apparently deviated from its route to Beijing. A man faces charges, as Scott Pringle tells us, after he's seen on video allegedly attacking a subway conductor overnight in Harlem.
Well, this was shortly after midnight on a number 4 train. Police say Julio Leonardo was holding the train doors open when the conductor asked him not to block the doors. Video then shows Leonardo walking on the platform at the 125th Street station in Harlem and then allegedly punching the conductor. There was a scuffle with the conductor punching back. Both had minor injuries. Leonardo was taken away in handcuffs and charged with assault.
Costco raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour. The wholesale retailer announcing yesterday will also increase pay for supervisors and has started offering paid parental leave for hourly employees. Several large employers have raised hourly wages recently to keep workers in a hot job market. And Brian Shook tells us that Facebook is now moving to focus more on privacy.
In a blog post, CEO Mark Zuckerberg explained that the company plans to work toward privacy-focused principles such as encryption, safety, and secure data storage. He explained that the future of communications will shift to private, encrypted services where people are confident their conversations are secure. In that effort, Zuckerberg announced that it's working to integrate messaging operations between WhatsApp, Instagram, and Facebook.
Turning the clock ahead 1 hour for daylight savings time this weekend can be difficult for many people. Sleep specialist Dr. Ofer Jacobitz says you can catch up on the hour sleep you'll lose in small doses.
Take short naps if needed during the day, and the body will slowly adjust to it, obviously, over the following week.
He also says spending more time exposed to daylight will help you adjust to the time change because it helps adjust your wake and sleep cycle. He adds getting enough sleep is critical to having overall good health. 13 minutes past the hour on this Friday, March 8th. Hope you're having a great Lent. 877-573-7825 is our number to call in with a question. Doug Keck is up next. He's our President and Chief Operating Officer, one of our fearless leaders at EWTN with some great resources moving into this weekend of Lent and beyond. Stay tuned. Always great to talk with my friend Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer of EWTN. Doug, it's so crucial to give people great resources. I was commenting on the really cool story on Catholic News Agency about the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, with that cute interview with Sister Joseph Andrew and Mother Assumpta Long regarding their growth, and they're moving into the deep into the heart of Texas, as the song says.
Exactly, exactly. How are you?
I'm good.
Have you ever seen an interview with those two that wasn't cute?
Oh, my gosh. They are the most joyful. I just saw them Saturday night because they had their big fundraiser.
Oh, did you?
In the Ann Arbor area for Spiritus Sanctus Academies that they run, and they are just a hoot and a half. Well, my goodness, how are you, Sister Joseph Andrew always says. Girl, you're so cute.
They're right. She's great. They're both great. And Mother Assumpta was obviously a great friend of Mother Angelica's.
Were they really close? Aww.
Well, her and Mother Angelica also was very close to Mother Assumpta's sister, who was a Nashville Dominican originally as well, and then actually started the what became the sister servants that are actually located not far from EWTN at this time. Mm. So there is a connection that goes way back.
So is there going to be more on that in EWTN? Because it seemed like a little bit of a two-minute clip that Catholic News Agency had that was really nice, showing the convent and what they're doing down there and everything.
I don't know that there'll be more as far as a long-form kind of program that I'm aware of, but certainly on the web people can see the highlights. Those are available. We do have a great program that's coming up and premiering next Wednesday called Unfinished Symphony. It's a documentary that we produced with a wonderful couple named the Sullivans about the World Villages for Children and their founder, Father Aloysius Schwartz. Believe it or not, he's the iron horse of Catholicism. He had ALS, but dedicated every moment of his life in serving the poor. And the Sullivans will be on this coming Wednesday, and then we'll be running the documentary later that night. And Peter Gagnon and his team, it was produced by us, working with the Sullivans, have done a really crackerjack job on it. It's going to be a really, really nice program. Again, highlighting the wonderful work through the history of the church with wonderful priests and religious working over the years in all parts of the world that we need today to remind ourselves when we're plucking the worms out of the bad apples.
How do you find these fantastic stories? Because I wasn't familiar with this priest at all until I saw the promos for the program.
It really was the Sullivans, the couple who knew him and had worked with him over the years and helped to support his wonderful work, who brought it to our attention. And as you know, so many things in the Catholic world, when people talk about radio, TV, so much of it is really grassroots lay people out there working and bringing things up. A lot of our, I like to refer to a lot of our programming as being opportunistic, in the sense that we don't have lots of money to go and author scripts and get big productions and spend 5 years making a movie. We really have to rely a lot of times on people bringing forth wonderful stories and bringing their talents to the fore so that we can put them on our shows, or you can interview them on radio, so that we can get the word out about these wonderful works of mercy throughout the history of the church.
See, that's what I think is so important, because what you're doing is you're allowing people who are out there looking at these different things to come to you and say, hey, we think we've got something that your listeners or your viewers would be interested
in. Absolutely. And as you know as well, you can't respond to everybody. You can't say yes to everybody. God has his own timing. Some stories work better than others. Some are so incredibly local, though they're powerful in that locale. They don't transcend. And there's only so much time in the day. But we get a lot of people writing us letters and bringing things forward. And many times we'll certainly look at them, whether people have ideas or concepts. We do look at them. We do review them. But again, one of the other restrictions we have is there's a million great ideas that require $1 million, which we don't have. And so we really have to be good stewards of our people's money so that we can continue sustainability. You know, everybody talks about sustainability in the world in the sense of the ecology and the environment. Well, one of the great things of Catholic radio and TV and related to EWTN and what Ave Maria's done is making sure that we'll be around tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think in terms of working together, when you bring together the different operations and the different affiliates, sometimes I think we forget how important that teamwork is.
Absolutely. It's the old story about, you know, greater than the sum of the parts. It's really, so many times we talk about EWTN as the loaves and the fishes. You know, things show up, the money shows up at the last minute. Mother always said, we don't want more than we need. We just want God to give us the right amount so as to do what he's asking us to do. And so I think so many times it really is grassroots, lay people elsewhere in the church. That's why when we go through tough times like we're going through now, if you read Rod Bennett's books and other things, it's always been in many ways, and this is not to denigrate our clergy and the wonderful bishops and priests that we have out there who are doing the best they can in many cases, but it's always the laity that comes to the fore, the faithful. That's why they call us the faithful, who are going to stick with it and keep going and know what the truth is and keep pointing it out. And that's what our job is not to be successful, as Mother Teresa said, but faithful.
Faithful.
And we just have to keep doing that and working together, like you indicate, on a local basis. You know, the church is gigantic, but it's all very local. And so it's Catholic radio in the marketplace or on the web or EWTN television, and we're expanding. I mean, we've got new things happening in Africa people can look forward to. We've got some new things maybe happening in Brazil that we're going to be able to announce in the near future. And it's amazing how many doors are opening at a point when so many things are going in the headlines bad in the church, that below the surface, in the grassroots, the hunger is actually increasing.
I was just talking about that, Doug, in the local hour. I was reminding my listeners of what I, and Steve Ray and I will mention this later, but what we saw in the Holy Land. February is supposed to be the off month. It's supposed to be really slow in the Holy Land in February. It was packed.
Really?
And I'm thinking, Wow. This is in the midst, right? This is right as the abuse summit in Rome is starting, and this is right after we learned our Protestant brothers and sisters now facing some of what we're facing. We saw the story that came out in early February about the Baptist churches and all the abuse there, more stories about evangelical churches such as Willow Creek in Chicago. And yet you had to stand in line in what was supposed to be an off-season to go see these various places where our Lord was. And to me, that was as frustrating as it is to stand in line. What a testimony.
Well, I think, you know, it's the old story, too, whether we like it or not. It's times of persecution that the faith is strengthened. It's the, you know, that fire, that refining fire. I mean, Mother, in many cases, used to say as much as she didn't like pain, she knew that when she was in pain, she'd be closer to God because she had to rely on him that much more. Mm-hmm. And so in many cases like this, when the structures don't necessarily work the way we thought they did, because though the church itself is not man-made, quote-unquote, it's Jesus's church, there's a lot of people running around with man-made structures inside it, and some of those haven't worked out so well as we might have thought. And our recourse is not to cast it aside and say, this is ridiculous. What we got to do is say, this is Jesus's church. That I have to get closer to him and stay focused on him. And if I continue to do that, and we continue to work together to root out the problems that are there in the church. And many of us believe this is a time of purification that's going on, that we need to go through this. This is something that's been there below the surface, sub rosa. Many of us understand better now, and I think more of the lay people are starting to understand some of the stuff that we could see sort of in some ways being closer to it, in the sense that why we didn't hear the things we should have been hearing on abortion, infanticide. You know, somebody said recently, I think it was Bishop Schneider who mentioned the fact that, you know, you never hear the words adultery anymore, certain phrases that aren't brought up because they don't want to be spoken about because they make people uncomfortable, and unfortunately they're apparently making the people who are saying them uncomfortable because they may be participating in things analogous to that.
Right. Well, I don't know if you heard, I didn't run the story because it was very graphic, where there's a man who actually committed some heinous crimes against his family, including murder, and it started with adultery, and he admitted that in an interview with the FBI. He said it put him into a dark place, into a very sinful place. And this is out in the secular media, and yet we don't talk about things like this in the church and where they can lead. And this is why we need EWTN to help keep us focused.
Well, we all know the point with these things is always the same, which is if you start hiding things, what happens is everybody ultimately has something on each other. It's almost like what gangs do. When you join the gang, you have to either kill somebody or commit a crime because you have to prove you belong, but it's also something they now hold over you, so that you can't just get out because you've done something that they've got evidence on. And I think in many cases in the church, we have these issues where people, even good people, at times made mistakes in the sense of not reporting things or followed what at the time was the premise that now we've decided is the wrong premise. And they're held accountable now, too. Even the bishop in Lyon, and I'm not defending what he did, but he ultimately is being blamed not for what he did, but for knowing something happened years before he even came and not doing anything about it.
Not reporting it. Doug, great conversation. Just want to remind folks, all the programs and the great informational resources we have, as Doug mentioned, can be found at EWTN.com. And don't forget our Facebook page. Great articles there as well, with over a million followers for EWTN on Facebook. We'll be right back. Steve Ray talking about this, how we stay strong in the midst of this crisis. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. We have begun the holy season of Lent. The traditional practice of giving something up for Lent is a practice of self-denial. Our Lord said that to follow Him, we must deny our very selves. It means we say no to ourselves and yes to God and others. This reverses the pattern of sin, which says yes to ourselves and no to God and others. In our culture, the most violent no to God and others is abortion. 4,000 times every day in our nation, people say no to a little child so that they may say yes to their fears or their plans. This Lent, as we practice self-denial, let's think of these children. Let's offer our sacrifices for them. May all say yes to God and yes to the unborn. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Folks, get your questions ready. Phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Steve Ray and I, have been talking about doing this for some time since the church crisis broke out, the latest, I should say. And we just came back from an amazing pilgrimage to Jordan and the Holy Land. And one day we decided on the bus to do like a mock radio show and open up the bus for questions on this. And such great questions from our pilgrims. And you could hear the struggle and the suffering and the love for the church and all of it. And we really tried to give them some good direction, and at the end they said they really appreciated it. And so we wanted to bring this to you, give you the opportunity to call in, to ask questions, maybe to share what you've been doing to stand up for the faith in the midst of a crisis. We just went through, of course, Ash Wednesday, and all of us get the ashes on our forehead, and I'm sure from time to time over the years you get questions, and there's nothing wrong with that. People may not know, and it's a great way to witness. Some of you may get smirks or negative comments, and again, it's another way to be strong and witness. But it's a little bit different now. I would say a lot different in some ways, where a lot of us are getting attacked for what's happening among church leadership and some of the many problems. So how do we stand strong, and why, if people ask us why we're Catholic, how do we respond? I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. We're going to talk to Steve about that right now. He's over in the Holy Land, getting ready to lead yet another amazing pilgrimage. The phone number to chat with Steve and myself, 877-573-7825. Hey, Steve, good to talk to you again.
Hello, Teresa. Good to talk to you. Greetings from Jerusalem.
How's the weather there? Is it a little bit warmer than when we were there a few weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. It's very nice. It's a little bit cool, but it's warm, sunny, not a cloud in the sky, probably 60 degrees. It's very nice. My favorite.
All right, so your thoughts as we're looking at the problems in the church. You've probably been getting a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls on this. Why stay Catholic today?
Yeah, it's a good time to be Catholic in my estimation, because I have kind of warrior blood in me, I think. And I like a good challenge. And the church has never had a golden age. You look back at all through our history, we've never had a golden age. Even look at Paul's writings to the Corinthians. It was full of sinners and somebody living with his father's wife and all kinds of problems going on. And then you move into the next centuries and you got Arianism. It was a whole heresy, and almost all of the church, almost all the bishops fell to this heresy. There's been bad times in the church all along. During around 1000 A.D., St. Damian wrote about all the homosexuality problems in the church. That's 1,000 years ago. And there's never been a golden age of the church. And if that's what you're longing for or hoping for, forget it. It won't be here till Jesus comes. So what we have to do is gird up our loins, that's a biblical phrase, and get ready for the fight. Get ready to love the church, to defend the church. She's the bride of Christ. She's our family. And we're going to have problems in the family. And that's all the more reason to love her and stick with her.
So how do you respond when someone says, why in the world are you Catholic?
I say, wow, that's great. You want to talk about Jesus and the Catholic Church with me? Last year you didn't want to talk about it. Now you want to talk about it? Excellent. Let's go get a glass of wine and talk. That's what I would do. It's a great moment for evangelism, actually. And when people start to bring up the problems that we have in the church, let's take it on a wider spectrum and show that it's not a Catholic issue, it's a human issue. And to say that The problems are twice as bad in Protestant churches. So if you think you're going to leave the Catholic Church and go join one of these Bible churches or so, and find out that in the Southern Baptist Convention there's all kinds of reports now coming out about pastors and church leaders who have abused, sexually abused, and practicing all kinds of things that are wrong. And it's a wider picture than just the Catholic Church. It's perhaps Jewish schools. It's happening in public schools. In fact, the Catholic Church is the one institution that is really taking aggressive action to control it and be accountable for it. And a lot of the things that were being are coming up in the papers and the news happened decades ago. A lot of what's is being reported has made it sound like it's today, and there are cases today. But a lot of what's being reported is in making us think it's all today was actually decades ago, and some of the people have already died. And so we have to look at it in the bigger overall picture. It's not a Catholic issue. Yes, we have the problems in Catholic Church, but I think we're doing better than a lot of the other institutions that have the same problems.
We're talking with Steve Ray. Our topic, why stay Catholic today? If you have a question or you'd like to share your own story, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. What really encouraged me, and I just wrote my column for Our Sunday Visitor. I do the Ion Culture column, as you know, every 2 weeks. I entitled it Send in the Crowds, and I was talking about the fact that even though February is supposed to be an off month, you and I were commenting that it was more crowded than usual. And to me, I found that, okay, so we don't like to wait in line too long, but at the same time, I found it very encouraging that in the midst of everything that we're hearing in the news in both the Protestant and the Catholic churches, and we were there when the Abuse Crisis Summit was going on in Rome, and right after the story, as you mentioned, about the Southern Baptist Convention came out, and we saw Christians from all different walks of Christianity, whether it be Baptist churches, evangelical churches, predominantly the Catholic Church. But, Steve, it was packed. And I took that as a real encouragement.
It's crazy over here, Teresa, even now. You cannot get a hotel room. Hotels are full, and they're booked even to overbooked and even 2 years in advance. That's why we have dates all the way through 2024 for seven trips a year. But, yeah, it is the case. And, you know, one of the things that I think we also have to put in perspective, and it goes to your point, I made a point that it's not just a Catholic issue, it's a human issue in all institutions. But let's also look at the Catholic Church as more than just America in the year 2019 or the last 20 years. The Catholic Church is much bigger. When I look at the papacy, I don't see Pope Francis. I see 266 popes, most of them who are very faithful to the truth, who cleared up confusion, who taught the doctrines and the traditions of the faith, who died for the faith. When I see the Catholic Church and I see Christianity, I don't just view Christianity in America today. We are very myopic, I think, Americans. We have very limited vision. We think of the Catholic Church only in our parish, in our city, today. The Catholic Church is worldwide. It is 2,000 years old. There have been 266 successors of Peter. There are churches, 350,000 plus masses every day. And to just take the little microscope and look down at America and the problems that we've had in America is really, really to be closed-minded. So when you come here and you see Israel full of people, last year, Teresa, 4 million people came to Israel, over 4 million. It was record numbers. In Israel, there's only 8 million people living here. 4 million people came as tourists last year. And
that's
this
crazy.
Year is even going to be more, as you saw in February. Christianity is not damaged. Christianity is not diminished because there are problems. We know that the Catholic Church and all of Christianity is not just a haven for saints. It's also a hospital for sinners,
right.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And I'm not so, you know, seeing the hypocrisy and the sinners in the church doesn't surprise me, because all you have to do to be a sinner and a hypocrite is to be a human being. What really surprises me is the saints. Where do you find the saints? In the Catholic Church. It takes divine grace to be a saint. That's where you find them. The church is the home for saints, but it's also the home for sinners, because we're all in need of a hospital. That's why I became a Catholic, Teresa, because I knew I needed the hospital. And I also said to Janet, and I'll finish with this, is that even if the church is perfect, I said to Janet, wow, you know, Jesus never promised us the church is going to be perfect. He said it's going to be full of wheat and weeds, sheep and goats. And even if the church was perfect, as soon as I join it, it's not going to be perfect anymore, because I know myself.
Wow, great points. All right, we have calls coming in. Cheryl calling from Michigan. We'll get to your question right after the break. If you have a question or a comment regarding why stay Catholic today, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. To check out Steve's great work in his pilgrimages, Footprints of God, or CatholicConvert.com. Minutes past the hour. It's a Friday, 877-573-7825. Chatting with Steve Ray, who is back in Israel to lead another fabulous pilgrimage, CatholicConvert.com. Let's go to the phones. We're talking about why stay Catholic today. Cheryl calling from Michigan on line three. Hey, Cheryl, what's your comment or question for Steve?
Hi. I, too, am a Catholic convert, but I've been a Catholic now for 30 years, and I love being Catholic. But I have to tell you, I have felt so much frustration and anger about this whole situation. And my anger is from this point. My Protestant family, you know, will say, yes, this happens, but we remove those people. We don't let them come in. When we find out, we do something about it. And I have no answer to that because I feel frustrated that we as members of the church and the congregation have no power. We have no ability. I mean, obviously we pray and we fast and we do what we can in that regard, but we have no ability to go out there and make a difference within our church. And I know we have this level of authority, but... Mm-hmm. Everybody, even from the bishops within Lansing, the main response is, well, we're all sinners. And my response is, yes, we're all sinners. But you know what? None of my friends have raped children. None of my friends seduce seminarians. And these are people of authority over me. Mm-hmm. And I see the Pope raising people to bishops with questionable backgrounds and his... What he seems to be doing to me, in my opinion, is he's trying to address the symptom but refuses to do anything about the problem. And it makes me angry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do with that anger.
Okay. Let me just go to Steve because we have a bunch of calls, Cheryl. I don't want to cut you off, but you bring up some good points, and I think a lot of us can relate to your, which I would say is righteous anger. I would say, though, that priests are removed. There is a zero tolerance policy, at least in the Archdiocese of Detroit. If they're suspected and they have reasonable evidence, they're removed right away. So they are removed. But Cheryl, I totally get where you're coming from because that's a deep righteous anger, and I can hear the love in the for the church in your voice. Steve, go ahead.
Cheryl, the more you love something, the more you get angry when it's being offended or hurt. If I love my wife and she gets hurt, then I'm angry. The more you love something, the more angry you can get. And Paul says, be angry, but do not sin. There's such a thing as being angry without having to, it's not a sin. It's a righteous anger where you don't want something and it inspires you to action. So I can agree with you completely about the Pope and about the whole situation. Believe me, there's a whole slew of us out here that agree with you completely. Remember that in the other institutions, whether it's in public schools or Protestant churches, they're not always good at removing people either. I've been members of those churches. I can tell you that if you're the average member in a big Presbyterian or mega church, you're not going to get a lot of action until the leadership there decides to do something about it too. So your Protestant friends are criticizing, they live in a glass house and they shouldn't be throwing stones. But I will also say that there's, I think, some things that we can do. Yes, we can pray, but oftentimes that's a cliche. People say, well, we'll just pray about it. But that's good. We should pray about it, and then seriously, that should be an issue. But also there's things we can do. Remember, Francis of Assisi was not a priest. He was just a layman, and he took the gospel seriously, and he went about living it out. And in the short term, he made a huge change in the church, which was very corrupt at the time. He brought a whole reformation into the church. We as lay people, there are things we can do. We can pray. We can ask. We can write. We can call our bishops. We can discuss these things. We can put pressure. We can withhold money and make known why we're withholding money. If we're in a situation where we know a priest is doing something wrong like that and morally wrong, then we should withhold money and let everybody else know why we're withholding the money. So there are things we can do, and I think that what we're doing now, we're seeing a development of those ideas. And Ave Maria Radio with Al Cresta and Teresa, they're dealing with these issues, coming up with new ideas of what we can do. I think we're in a learning curve, and as we get angry and we start to look for ways and things that we can do, we as the lay people will come up with good ideas and good ways to deal with it. And I think that the bishops are already catching on and they're already dealing with it themselves too. So hang in there, love the church, and let's keep acting and defending her.
Thanks, Cheryl, and stay tuned to us at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio as we continue to address this issue very strongly. Karen, also calling from Michigan this morning in Saginaw on line one. And by the way, we have about 15 minutes left with Steve Ray. He's staying on for the entire hour talking about why be Catholic. 877-573-7825. Karen, what's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, good morning. I have been butting heads in my diocese and my church. I'm finding just keeping up on information, like getting the dossier and being up on it, not knowing what's happened in our diocese. I'm not into the gossip part of it, but keeping up on it. So if somebody asks me, like RCIA people traveling out of town ask me, I want to be up on what we are doing. Mm-hmm. So I had a little problems getting the dossier. So I contacted our diocese and our leader of our church. And it's like a blindfold. One response was, we don't care. So I got real disheartened. It hurt my heart, actually. But now that I heard Steve Ray talking, I think my question is, how do we put Al Cresta and Teresa Tomeo in the parish to help the parishioners?
Well, we're doing that every day. We're trying to do that by being on the air. What you can do, sweetie, is to let people know. A lot of people still don't know about Catholic radio, about EWTN, about Ave Maria.
I do the radio thing.
Well, but tell other people about it. Get the bumper magnets. Good. Well, then keep doing it, because that's what's going to help people to stay encouraged. And we are not shy about this story. Al and I and others, especially EWTN News Nightly and Catholic News Agency and The Register, we've been on top of this story, and we're not painting it as like everything's coming up roses. So, well, let me let Steve comment, because we have some more calls, and I just wanted him to address what you said. I'm not trying to cut you off. Please understand. I just want him to address what you said. Go ahead, Steve.
I think what you're doing is great, writing letters, making phone calls, putting pressure on, and you have to get maybe a campaign going where you have more than just one. They always say that if somebody writes a letter to a politician or a bishop, they multiply that by 100 or 1,000, say there's 1,000 people out there thinking this that haven't written. Well, if you can get a campaign going, or you can, I know there's even people who are getting groups of people to go in and meet the bishop together, get a good attorney in your parish or something else, put together a plan and go visit the bishop, but go visit the church leaders as a group. That has a lot of power, more than just one person writing a letter. I also agree with Teresa that get people tuned into to EWTN, to television and radio, and get more people listening, because they have been on top of it. Catholic Register, the great paper that got out there, National Catholic Register, is staying on top of this. And get those articles, print them out, give them to other people to read. Take them to the pastor, see what are we doing about it. I think there's a lot we can do, but we got to not be shy, and we have to start making it a priority.
Yeah, and I think her comment as well was saying that she went to someone in the diocese, and they basically said they didn't care, they had a blindfold on. Well, that's not going to serve them well. They can have as many blindfolds on as they want, but they're going to be, eventually, it's going to hit them even harder if they don't wake up and smell the cappuccino.
And whoever says they don't care, they work for someone else. Find out who they work for and go over their head.
We did have a call off air. Jimmy from New Orleans did not want to go on the air, but he was wondering. He was very upset, as many of us were, and we talked about this on the bus, Steve, that the issue of addressing homosexuality in the Rome Summit was removed from the agenda, and he was wondering if you had any insight as to why, and also, what would you say, how do we respond to this, do you think?
I think the reason why is because there are so many homosexuals in Rome that they don't want to deal with their own issues. People usually don't want to open their own closet and deal with their own issues. They want to deal with other issues or obfuscate and cover them. I didn't have high expectations for that summit in Rome, and I got the results that I expected, not very little. Homosexuality is the major problem in the church. The news media and others would like to focus it on pedophilia, that it's only with children, but that's not the issue. The vast majority of the problem is with homosexuality and dealing with offending seminarians and young priests and young boys. That's what the main issue is, and because there's so many of those folks in Rome, they don't want to deal with their own problem. I maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this, but I saw a funny hat the other day. It was like a cardinal's the little beanie they wear, and it says, "Let's make Rome Catholic again." And I thought that was rather humorous. But there's many good bishops. Let's first of all say that there are marvelous bishops. I know many marvelous bishops. The Bishop of Nebraska, Bishop Conley, he goes on pilgrimages with me. And somebody had earlier said they're not doing anything about it, but the Bishop Conley pulled four of his priests when there were suspected problems, sexual problems. He pulled four of his priests, and I know two of those guys. I was very, very sad about them, but he acted, and other bishops are acting. And there's a lot of wonderful, marvelous bishops out there who are acting. Too many bishops are acting more like politicians than they are like shepherds. We need shepherds, not politicians. But there are a lot of good shepherds out there. And, you know, I would say one other thing, too, is that when Israel, all through Israel's history, most of the time it was in sin and heresy and following false gods. The kings, the prophets, the priests are all bad. But never did God say, leave the land of Israel and go across the Jordan River and start the reformed Israel. Don't leave and go start a new Israel. And when Jesus came, who did he come to? He came to that sinful Jewish people because that was his covenant people, even though they were in sin most of the time. We as the Catholic Church, many of us, all of us are sinners, and when Jesus comes back, he's coming back to his church. I'm looking out over the Mount of Olives right now. That's where Jesus is going to come back at the end of time. And he's not wanting us to leave and go start other Israels, in a sense, reformed Israels. We're to stay where we are. We're to fight for the cause. We're to love the church. And like Peter said, where else should we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And remember, that's in the context of John chapter 6, which is about the Eucharist. Where else can you go get the Eucharist? It's in the Catholic Church. This is our home. This is our family, and we're going to fight for it.
Amen. You were talking about good bishops. We've got a story this morning online on many of our news sites about Bishop Springfield Bishop Thomas Popricky, who is challenging Cardinal Blaise Supich about an issue regarding metropolitan bishops. And he's saying that he knows that people have lost trust to Bishop Popricky, and he wants things done differently. And he's another one that has been speaking out and on the front lines as well, including Archbishop Nauman. Yeah, Strickland, Archbishop Nauman from Kansas City, who's also the head of the Pro-Life Committee for the USCCB, is taking to task pro-abortion so-called Catholic politicians. So what we need to do, as you said, is to remember that there are good shepherds and to support those and also to lovingly challenge those who we feel are not leading the sheep. You said something interesting during the break when we were talking about this, preparing for the next segment, that often it's the sheep leading the shepherds.
Yes, I agree with that. And you know, I think that the shepherds, who, like I said, often act more like politicians and they put their finger up, you know, tend to lick their finger, put up, see which way the wind's blowing, they are oftentimes intimidated by the liberals and by the liberal media, the secular media. They want to make sure that they don't get in trouble with lawsuits and the media and all of these things. But I tell you what, I think that they ought to start being more concerned about what us conservatives think. And us conservatives have a tendency to be quiet and to be patient.
Well, how about just Orthodox Catholics? I don't like to use the word liberal or conservative. We can look at the teachings of the church, but I say Orthodox. How about Orthodox Catholics? Let's say that.
Well, Orthodox Catholics, I agree with that, and the opposite of Orthodox Catholics would be heterodox, but the unfortunate thing is labels like that, people understand them. I agree with that, Orthodox, but you can be an Orthodox bishop theologically and not be doing anything about it. So that's what I'm saying, is that there are those out there who want to change the church. They want to be liberal in their ideas. They want to change it and add homosexuality, allow all these things to go on. They're trying to be, quote-unquote, liberal and progressive. Then there's those of us who are trying to conserve the faith. We want it to conserve it the way it was handed down by the apostles. That's the way I use the word conservative. We're trying to conserve the faith the way, and that's Orthodox faith.
I got it,
But sometimes we can be Orthodox but do nothing about it. And I think that we ought to let the bishops know that those out there who are the progressives, the heterodox, the unorthodox, who are always trying to make changes, and they're always very loud, aren't they? They tend to be very loud, the media and all these
people. Yeah, we need to be louder. We need to be louder.
We need to be louder. We need to be strong. We need to be consistent. We need to be organized. And I think that's what's happening, Teresa. And I think Catholic Radio is one of the stem winders that's helping that get going. So thank you to you and Al especially.
Steve, thank you for taking the time to talk about this, which can be a frustrating and sometimes uncomfortable topic to talk about, but you have such insight, especially coming from your background as an author, a speaker, apologist, and a convert who's been out there in
and a Protestant. I used
and
to
a
be
Protestant.
A Protestant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would just say to people, look, instead of looking at this as a bad thing, as a negative thing, look at it as a positive thing. We are purifying. This is a way to purify the church. We've got a lot of dead wood in the church. This is a time to purify, to strengthen it, to clean it up. You know, when the house gets messy, you go in spring cleaning and get things taken care of. And I think this is time we ought to rise up as Orthodox Catholics, like you said, and we ought to conserve what we have in the faith, and let's get busy doing it. Think of this as a positive time, a time where we can talk about the church and Jesus with people that may not have talked to us before. And let's make a difference, and let's not just sit there and wait and let all of the loudmouths do it. Let's us get involved.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. Great insights. Have a safe and a wonderful pilgrimage with your group coming in. And for more information on Steve's trips, including a cool one we're doing next summer to Oberammergau for the Passion Play in 2020, we're going to Oberammergau and Italy. Check it out at CatholicConvert.com, and he's got all of his pilgrimages listed there. We'll be right back. It is a Friday morning, March 8th, 2019, on EWTN.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare. Fully alive.
What is our Sunday Visitor Institute and how can it be a great help to you? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews when my guest, Jason Shanks, president of the OSB Institute, gives the answer. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
The Supreme Court is considering the constitutionality of a 40-foot cross in Maryland. It's part of a World War I memorial that stood on public land for 94 years. But the American Humanist Association has argued that it's a violation of the Establishment Clause and doesn't properly represent Jews, Muslims, and secularists. Join us for the discussion.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
That flew by. Thanks to Doug Keck and Steve Gray for engaging conversation. And you, appreciate your concerns and your questions. Stay strong. Keep your eyes on Christ. As my spiritual director always says, all things Christy, all things Christ. On a Monday, taking a look at ways to have a really good or a really bad Lent, a satirical piece by one of our favorite priests, highlighting what the world says would be a good idea for Lent, but we need to concentrate on what the church says. Plus, our scripture verse of the week with Gail Buckley. Have a blessed weekend. Talk to you later.